questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. I have a very special guest speaker for today's discussion, Shaykh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
It might happen that in the lives of the believers and mu'mineen all across the world, whether they are Muslims or Christians or Jews, some doubts or misunderstanding happens in their religious beliefs. And especially in the modern age, we can say with the atheist attacks, with the agnostic attacks to the religions, these doubts and the number of doubts are increasing. Is it at all good for the people, I mean for the public, for the people, ordinary people, in order to learn religious knowledge, to be aware of the answers to such questions, or no? They must refer to an alim or a scholar to get their answers on such new doubts and questions.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we're talking about religious knowledge, in our case Islamic knowledge, it's a vast spectrum of different fields of studies. I mean, when we're talking Islamic studies, especially nowadays, we have different fields. It can be theology, philosophy, Islamic laws,
Hadith, Quran.
Yeah, exactly, yes. All these. And so the point is that, is it necessary for all the Muslims to go deep and spend many years learning all these fields of studies? Of course, the answer is negative because, in that case, we would have lack of other scholars in other scientific fields. So the point is that, to some extent, all the people are obliged, according to the religion of Islam, to know about the religion. So, for example, when it comes to especially the fundamental beliefs like belief in God, belief in the prophets and the Day of Judgment, according to all Shia scholars, no one is allowed to follow other people, even great scholars. No,
yes.
For you to be a monotheist, you may think, you may ponder, you may look for arguments, rational arguments, and in some cases maybe narrated arguments. To prove the existence of God, for example, the prophethood of different prophets, especially our prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, and then to prove the authenticity of the Quran, and then through Quran you may also prove the Day of Judgment, and so on and so forth.
That's right.
And when it comes to the Islamic laws, the Sharia, again, to some extent people need to learn the Islamic laws that they are in need of. This is mentioned in all the books of Tawdih al-Masail, the Islamic laws, that people need to know at least the laws that they are dealing with on a daily basis, for example,
yes,
or on a weekly basis. So, for example, for prayer, for fasting, for khums, zakat, we need to at least know the general rulings.
Yes.
And then if you are a merchant, for example,
yes,
you know, you need to know the laws of that specific, business, for example.
That's right. I mean, all businesses, we can say, and transactions in Islam are under the shadow of Islamic laws. As a Muslim, you have to be aware of them, okay?
Yeah.
But the modern day has made it very much complicated, Shaykh, you know? We can say new doubts, new types of transactions come into the scene, and the questions now are increasing a lot, up to an extent that some people, for example, give priority to the doubt and leave an obligation. This happens a lot in the lives of believers too nowadays.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Thank you for sharing that. Before answering your question, so my point is that to some extent, when it comes to religious knowledge, especially about the beliefs, about Islamic laws, and sometimes about moral issues, all the people have this obligation to know about and to learn those specific types of knowledge. But when we're talking about deducing the Islamic laws from the sources, then it's not the obligation of all the people.
Yes.
And there is a very explicit verse in this regard in chapter At-Tawbah, verse 122. It is interesting to know that this verse was revealed when there was the time for a war, and some Muslims, or the majority of the Muslims, were ready to go to that war.
Yes.
But then this verse was revealed. وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً It is not for all the people, all the believers to go forth altogether, meaning for war.
Yes.
فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ But why should not there a group from each of their sections go forth to become learned in religion? وَلِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ And to warn their people when they return to them so that they may be aware. So that they may beware. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ So this is a very interesting verse in that even at the time of war, Islam says that at least in some occasions, at least in many occasions, it's not the duty of all the Muslims to, leave the schools, the universities, I'm talking about our time and era, and go to war. No, we need people, some people going to, special schools to study the religion. So this is what we mean by wajib kifayi, meaning that an obligation upon some people.
Yes.
So when it comes to deducing the Islamic laws from the sources, it is the duty of, some people, and that is the reason we have all these Islamic seminaries, hawzas, and the great scholars who spend all their life in learning about all these different types and fields of Islamic studies. So this is their duty, and then the duty of other people who are not that learned, like in Islamic studies, is to follow these great scholars. And that is the whole philosophy of taqlid, or
That's
following.
Right.
Because all the people do not have enough time to spend their whole lifetime to study about Islamic studies, which is a vast knowledge. It's not only Quran and Hadith.
Yes.
No, there are many fields of studies, like even Arabic grammar, Arabic syntax, Rijal, Diraya, mm-hmm. logic, philosophy, and so on and so forth. So for that, either they need to be a mujtahid, a person who is able
yes.
to deduce Islamic laws from the
okay.
sources, or they need to act upon ihtiyat or precaution, which is very difficult, which means that, for example, if a scholar says that under this situation, you need to say a 2-rak'ah prayer. Another scholar says that, no, you need to say a 4-rak'ah prayer, like in a journey. Then acting upon precaution means that you need to do both, which is very difficult, and in some cases it's not possible.
That's right.
So, and the third option is to follow a mujtahid,
okay.
the more learned one, and the other conditions which are mentioned.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
And beside mujtahids, there are so many scholars, as you said, nowadays at the universities who are interested in a specific field of study. For example, we can say those people who are working on Mahdism, Mahdaviyat, okay? We can say there are so many doubts mm-hmm, and questions mm-hmm. regarding that point. There are some specific researchers who dedicated their life to that point, or Karbala history, or, for example, the history of Islam, or this and that. I say, even up to an extent that a mujtahid might not be able to answer those questions, but those people are. It is a duty, as you say, of a Muslim to refer to such people to get the answer. But unfortunately, because of lack of time, the engagement with different cases, the priority now is given to the doubts. And people are living with the doubts every day.
That's a very good point before going to the doubts. You refer to professors coming from
yes.
the university.
That's
a very good point, and thank you for sharing that. Unlike some other religions which believe that religious knowledge should be limited to, religious circles, like, for example, the churches and other people have no right to even read the Bible, At least from the viewpoint of Shia scholars, it's not like that. I mean, it doesn't mean that it is only the right of the people coming from the houses, from the seminaries to, go into the Islamic studies and become experts so that other people may refer to them. No, the gate is open to all the people.
Yes.
And some people, without joining the Islamic seminaries, they, try their best to, deeply read the Islamic studies, go into the Islamic studies.
Yes.
Many people coming from the universities, because nowadays in some countries, especially in Islamic Republic of Iran, we have a special fields in some universities which also teach the same content.
Yes.
Although, still, I believe that even the listeners agree that in most of the cases, people coming from the seminaries, they may be preferred in from some dimensions because of the fact that they spend all their lives for this type of knowledge.
And there is a third group, the people who are from religious roots but attend the universities. That's right, something between the two. So, there are so many centers, for example, nowadays in Islamic Republic of Iran, ready to answer the doubts and questions, on religion.
So my point is that we cannot limit the knowledge to any circle, any school, excluding other institutions. No, the gate is open for all the people. Now, regarding all these doubts that they are raised nowadays, unfortunately, of course, having doubts is not an unfortunate phenomenon in and of itself. But the point is that many people, unfortunately, they just read the doubts and they do not refer to the scholars for finding the answers to the doubts. And the other point about this doubt is that when you see a post is shared in social media, there are only 10 lines, but 20 doubts are mentioned in these 10 lines. About the history of Islam, about theology, about politics, and so on and so forth. So many questions in one post, and people are, attacked by, are bombarded by all these different various doubts. But then for a scholar to answer all these, like, only 10 questions, he's in need of, 30 pages.
Yes.
And no person has enough time, and it doesn't feel like going through all these 30 pages, and it makes it a bit complicated.
That's right.
I mean, people have access to the doubts, but they do not feel like finding and reading the answers.
That's right.
But the point is that, doubt in and of itself is not something bad.
Okay.
But we should not stay on this condition. As soon as you receive a doubt, you need to ask the scholars to know about it.
Okay.
If you do not have the opportunity, then stop reading such posts.
Mm-hmm.
Either you need to be able to answer yourself.
Yes.
That is why you're spending time to read all these doubts. Otherwise, if you're not such a person, you need to find a scholar who is able to answer. And alhamdulillah, in all the cases, we have, enough scholars, many scholars, and convincing answer. You cannot find any unanswered misunderstanding and doubt. But the point is that almost in all the cases, the answers are much, much more lengthier than the questions and the doubts.
And sometimes, the cases with the scholars we are referring to, incapability in order to answer properly to the questions. This is the case too. For example, the people has a doubt regarding Imam Mahdi or this and that, the Holy Quran, whether the text was a miracle or not. They refer to the person who is not able to answer them properly.
Mm-hmm.
So the best answer is the simple answer, okay? The best answer is the improper answer. The best answer is the incomplete answer. They got it, and for example, they leave an obligation. That's why the duty of I believe, is on the shoulders of our scholars too, to make themselves great again, to achieve and to study a lot, This is the case.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And also let me add to that first of all, people should not expect all the people coming from seminaries to know all the answers to all the questions.
That's right.
We have so many fields of studies, and we need expert in each field. And second of all, for people coming from the seminary, they should also should not think that they know everything.
Yes.
So sometimes if, I mean, as a religious scholars, as a clergyman, people come to you asking questions on theology or philosophy, but you are an expert in Islamic laws, for example, then you may not, I mean, it would be much better if you refrain, if you avoid answering, instead introducing other people who are expert in that field of study.
Right.
But my point is that, alhamdulillah, nowadays, with the, blessings of the Islamic Republic of Iran and many other seminaries in Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and so on and so forth, we cannot find any question which is not answered, at least in three languages, Persian, Arabic, English, and in many cases, Urdu languages.
Yes.
So the answers are available,
yes.
But it is the duty of the people who, are faced with these doubts to find the answers and look for the answers.
Okay. The sociopolitical and the financial problems also of a country might overshadow, I would say, the religious concepts.
Mm-hmm.
So on such cases, I think referring to the scholars and ulama might help again.
Sure.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. And thank you very much to listeners for listening to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan.